And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So, as epiphanies go, or revelations that there's more to this man Jesus than meets the eye, as epiphanies go, Jesus' baptism is certainly a big one. And Matthew is inspired to make sure that you get that. He uses the command, "Behold," which means look at this. Understand what this is telling you. "Behold, the heavens opened, and the Spirit rested on him like a dove. And the Father told us, 'This is my beloved Son.'" And why does this matter? Because at this moment, at Jesus' baptism, the Father made clear what his Son was come to do and showed us how he would do it. And you and me, we are still receiving the benefits of what Jesus has done. But let's back up and look at this a little more closely. Matthew begins simply by stating that Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John. But if you remember Joseph's dream that we heard about back in Advent, when the angel told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, you'll remember the angel also told Joseph to name the boy Jesus, because he was going to save the people from their sins. That name Jesus, or Yahshua in the Hebrew, means God saves. So when Jesus came to the Jordan, he wasn't just checking things out or taking a break from carpentry. He was doing the work God gave him to do. He is God coming to save us there. You'll notice that John the Baptist was taken aback by Jesus coming to get baptized at all. After all, John's baptism was for repentance and forgiveness. It was to prepare the people for the coming of God's kingdom with fire and judgment. We also heard back in Advent about how John proclaimed that the Mighty One was coming, whose sandals John himself wasn't even worthy to carry. He said, "The Mighty One is coming, and he's going to chop down all the unfruitful trees and throw them into the fire, and he's got his winnowing fork in his hand, and he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff." But of course, that's not what Jesus was doing when he came to John, and that confused John, and John tried to prevent him from being baptized. John knew that Jesus was come to bring God's plans to a conclusion, to usher in the new age, to bring forth judgment and justice. And John could not see the point of baptizing Jesus. Jesus had nothing to repent of. Jesus didn't need to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. He was the Lord. If anything, John reasoned, "I need you to baptize me, Jesus." And Jesus' response is the next thing that we need to give attention to. "Let it be so for now. For in this way, it's proper for us to fulfill all righteousness." Let it be so for now. You see, John wanted to skip to the end, and to have the kingdom come in glory and power, to judge the irredeemable, to save the righteous, but that wasn't God's plan yet. "For now," Jesus told him, "for now, this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to humble myself and have you baptize me. And in this way, we shall move God's plan for salvation forward." Now, the folks at Thursday Lunch and Bible Study know that I lean pretty hard on Professor Gibbs and his commentary on Matthew. And he pointed out that in the Old Testament, that phrase, "fulfilling all righteousness," is tied to God doing his work to save his people. That is what makes for justice and the good. It's God's people being saved. And that's what John had been missing. Yes, the time would come for the Messiah to judge. But first he has come to save, to restore, to reconcile. For he is Yahshua, God come to save, in time and history, to save his people by his own work. So we know what Jesus has come to do. He is God come to save. But what about how he was going to do that? Well, that's where his baptism comes in. He comes to save us, to save you, to save me, by taking our place before the law and its judgment. By getting baptized, Jesus said, "I'm going to take the law's judgment of you on myself." Remember, this is a baptism of repentance for forgiveness. Repentance is the sinner's response to the law's judgment and condemnation. And forgiveness is God's gracious gift to faith. Obviously, Jesus had nothing himself to repent of. He did not need any forgiveness. But because he's come in the flesh to be our sin bearer, to stand in our place, to receive our judgment there at the Jordan, he let himself be judged as a sinner in our place, and was baptized into our troubles. How is it that God saves us? First, by coming to stand with us. Now remember, Matthew's already told us that this is not just Jesus, right? He is also Emmanuel, God with us. He comes to us in our flesh to stand with us. And then he takes our place. Now, even though church is still decked out for Christmas, there's a very deep sense in which Jesus' baptism is his first step toward Good Friday and Easter Sunday. As he is baptized into our place to take our judgment, he knows that it will end with his death. For only death can end sin and its judgment. But Jesus also knows that as the righteous son and innocent victim, the Father will raise him up so that all might rise with him. Jesus at the Jordan stands with us, he takes our place, and he begins to receive what sinners receive. Here, it is baptism and forgiveness, but it will finally be death and rejection, so that the law is satisfied and you and I are set free. Now, John consented to baptize Jesus, and when our Lord came up out of the water, God the Father made sure that everyone, not just Jesus, not just John, but everyone there, got clued in on what was actually breaking loose. In fact, some of you might remember that when the apostles needed to replace Judas's spot amongst the 12, Peter told them that one of the qualifications for being part of the 12 was that disciple must have been present at Jesus' baptism. Being able to give an eyewitness account of what happened there was essential for establishing the gospel and its proclamation. So what just is this big deal that inspired Matthew to command us, behold, look, pay attention and understand? Well, first, there's the Spirit descending on Jesus in bodily form as a dove. Now, no one has a really good explanation for why the Spirit chose to appear as a dove, but that the Spirit visibly manifested himself so that all could see him resting on Jesus was the sign that Jesus is Messiah, the Anointed One. Pious Jews would have gotten that. And while we could speak of the offices for which anointing was necessary in the Old Testament, prophet, priest, and king, Professor Gibbs would encourage us to consider Isaiah 61 instead. Those verses that Jesus read when he preached in his hometown of Nazareth. The Spirit of my Adonai Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Jesus is anointed by the Spirit to do the gospel to the lost, to the weak, to the ill-equipped, to sinners who know that they need a Savior. He is anointed to bring good news to us, news of salvation, news of God's grace and mercy, news of new life. And then, behold, a voice said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. God does not send a lackey to save us. He comes down in his own Son, precious and beloved, to stand with us and save us. The Father announces to all that whatever the Son does has his approval. The Father sends his Son to save his children, all of us. So what then does this mean for us? Well, just as Jesus was baptized into our place in judgment, you and I, we are now baptized into him. And in the waters of holy baptism, we are anointed, called beloved sons and daughters, and receive all the benefits of what has been called the blessed exchange. That is, Jesus let himself be labeled and judged as a sinner to die in our place so that we can receive his name. Beloved son, beloved daughter, and then share in his inheritance and know that in him the Father is well pleased with us. And more than that, as the redeemed in Christ, holy and beloved, we are anointed to bring good news, the gospel, to the world around us. For this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Yes, we, the people of God in Christ, are now part of God's work in time and history to bring salvation to the lost and the weak and the ill-equipped, to those who know that they need a Savior. So my friends, let us embrace that call and rejoice in the work. Even so, amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.